The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And time to break the cover in a brand new issue of Our State magazine. This one for July 2022. Original publication date, as far as our reading service is concerned, is July 5th, the day after July 4th. This is a very green cover, and it says Green Acres on it. It's a top-down view of a green tractor towing a blue device which is doing something, I'm not sure what, I'm thinking maybe some kind of harvesting, to many, many rows of green crops. That's all we see is the rows of green crops, and the width of the tractor's wheels fit right between the rows very nicely. And this machine, then it collects something, not sure what, from each side. And it's a very colorful cover because of the bright green. You don't usually see that. So Green Acres is the theme this month. It's the agricultural issue is truly the theme. Then it says Green Acres. Some of the articles are Cotton Comes Back in Northampton County, Rice Revival in Pamlico County, Hemp's Coming or Homecoming in Harnett County, and Pawpaws Rediscovered in Watauga County. Plus Field of Dreams, 9 farms worthy of a summer celebration. So let's see how many we can get to, but you know what we do the first issue of each month. The From Elizabeth column is how we get started, by Elizabeth Hudson, editor-in-chief. And she entitles her little editorial, or whatever you want to call it here, Outstanding in the Field, which reminds me of the old joke about a farmer outstanding in his field, but never mind that. From fourth grade through eighth grades, I attended Farmer Elementary School in the rural community of Farmer in southwestern Randolph County. The bus picked me up on the one-lane dirt road behind my house, and on a 20-minute ride to school, I pressed my cheek against the window and watched the fields pass by. A landscape scattered with giant rolls of baled hay and herds of cattle grazing in the morning light. We passed horse pastures and tobacco fields, acres of collards and corn. The cover of my sixth grade yearbook featured an illustration of a farmer in overalls holding a pitchfork with a caption that read, Farmer, outstanding in his field. I did not know that line was coming, I have to be honest with you. You don't grow up in a place called Farmer without gaining an appreciation, an understanding, an affection for that word and everything it stands for. There are nearly 50,000 farms in North Carolina, covering more than 8 million acres. As much as I love seeing white-capped waves breaking onto the beach at Emerald Isle, or Pilot Mountain coming into view, or the glassy reflection of Lake Toxaway, for me, nothing compares to the sight of the sun setting over a plowed field. Wisps of clouds, stalks of corn shooting skyward, their blades grasshopper green, hundreds of watermelons and pumpkins, rows of woody grapevines in the Yadkin Valley, peach trees in perfect formation in the sandhills. In Raleigh on Edenton Street, alongside government buildings like the Education Building, the Justice Building, and the Highway Building, the North Carolina Department of Agriculture oversees all of these farms. The organization has been in place since 1877 and housed in this imposing Lego block of a building since 1923. From the street, you might think this place is as far from farming as the Alaskan tundra. But go inside and you'll see the antique Farmall Cub tractor, firecracker red in the lobby. You'll see the Got-to-Be NC Agriculture quilt, a gift from the Ashe County Peacemakers Quilt Guild, each square commemorating an agricultural commodity, seafood and apples, cotton and cows, milk and chickens and sweet potatoes. In the transom, you'll see a six-foot-wide stained glass window, meticulously cut by Tony Driggers in High Point, clams and oysters and Christmas trees and poinsettias, wheat and tobacco, pecans, peaches, peanuts, and pigs, each image luminous beneath the word agriculture, engraved into the building's stone facade. In here, it's a museum, an exhibit hall, a gallery, an archive. Antique farm implements fill every corner. Tobacco baskets and feed sacks from Hinkle's in Thomasville and Central Carolina, farmers in Durham, hang everywhere, along with art, a braided rug from Virginia Boone in Asheville, who worked at Champion Paper and Fiber Company in Canton, and learned to make rugs from the mill's recycled wool. To found a material collage of a mule plow created by Whiteville High School art teacher Mark Bannerman, an oil painting of a Rocky Mount seed farm shed by Benson's Doug Strickland. And just outside, a pollinator's garden, lush with black-eyed Susans and brilliant poppies, firecracker red, and another garden filled with the agricultural symbols of the state, dogwood branches and scuppernung vines and blueberry bushes, a rich and flourishing tribute to the abundance across our state. And now, as I do on the first reading of every month, I'd like to interpret the photo essay for you, which is in the center of each Our State issue. This one is entitled Field of Dreams. These working farms produce fruits, vegetables, and livestock, and set the stage for unforgettable life celebrations. This month we trade the ballroom for the barn with nine inspiring places for a party. Double spread here under the title Field of Dreams. Couples who wed at Big R Orchard in Moravian Falls celebrate in a spectacular reception barn atop Brushy Mountain, not far from where the Robinson family tends 25 acres of peach and apple trees. This is a big open on three sides building. The top, it all comes up to a triple height roof in the center. There's it's sort of a chandelier, couple of double rows of circles of light. There are tiny little lights going up the beams that are holding all of this up. It's all on concrete. Lots of tables with white cloths. There's some people milling outside. Someone's taking a picture of somebody else. Other people standing around talking. We don't know whether the reception's about to begin or whatever, but it looks like a lovely place because it is open air, and yet it is covered if it has to be covered because of weather. How about the Big R Orchard in Moravian Falls? Scott Robinson's Could Make Anything Father decided to add a spring-fed lake and golf course to his 150-acre farm atop the thermal belt of Brushy Mountain. Until cost reality set in, to bring his vision to fruition, the Robinsons began welcoming couples to wed on a golf green peninsula on the lake shore, backdropped by 25 acres of apple and peaches. Just up the hill stands the barn-shaped reception pavilion, which Scott designed and built with a little help from his friends and neighbors. It incorporates apple grading benches waterfall faucets, tin siding from the Apple House, and a tuxedo rack made from a beam of nearly extinct wormy chestnut, so old that axe marks are still visible. They're at Bethany Church Road in Moravian Falls. You want to talk to them? 336-957-1580. Here are three more pictures. A close-up of absolutely delicious-looking apple right on the tree. Then there's a family. The Robinsons, Scott, Angie, Linda, Avery, Kate, and Luke, run the big orchard, our Big R Orchard, alongside longtime friends and neighbors Gary Faw and Chuck Elledge. And there they are in front of that big old tractor. No doubt it's the one that we saw on the front cover. And then there's a wonderful picture of a tree, just gorgeous tree on the left-hand side, an open space on the right. It's at a little lake, and there's a little dock out there. Nothing at the end of the dock, just enough to go out and stand on and enjoy the fact that you're standing over the water and looking at the wonderful countryside. Chickadee Hill Farms in Statesville. You can find Prince Charming at Chickadee Hill, as well as a diamond, not to mention Bubbles. All are necessities for an I-do venue. But at Chickadee Hill Farms, they're also the names of miniature horses, thigh-high cutie pie ponies, frolicking in pastures near the crisp White Chapel, outdoor bar roofed with an old silo, fire pit, Amish-built reception barn, and a bell from the 1800s to ring out the joy. A view from the bride's dressing room, decked out in sophisticated white marble and white shag pillows, is of silvery-stemmed, violet-hued lavender plants, simple and fragrant. That bright yellow stripe on the horizon, golden as a wedding pan, just a crop of sunflowers turning their heads toward you. There on East Munbo Street in Statesville, ChickadeeHillFarms.com. On the left, it says the White Hill Farms is not just a wedding venue, it's also a mini horse rescue. For couples who tie the knot at the farm, ponies like Sandman, shown here, often appear alongside them in a wedding photo or two. So here's a from the mid-body forward right to the end of his snout view of Sandman. He's a beautiful off-white color, a little bit of yellow in his coat. Around his nose, of course, it's black. He has a frock of hair coming down over his eyes. He must be constantly shaking his head to get them out of his eyes, but it's kind of weird. It comes halfway down his snout and then breaking on the other side. It's almost like he's got a wig on. And then here's a couple walking away from the beautiful White Chapel. There's nobody else in the picture. The bride is holding a bouquet of flowers, looking at her former fiancé. And he's got a cowboy hat on and an off-white vest over a white shirt, tie, and blue jeans, and, of course, boots. How about the Old River Farms at Burgaw? When Dean Lanier realized that his 400-acre traditional row crop farm wasn't quite big enough for the big time, he also discovered that the property featured commercially attractive sand mines and bought three excavators. Then he bought cows just because he likes them, his son Michael says with a laugh. He talks to them, scratches them. Customers know that it's as good as it gets for these 30 or so cows that do nothing but graze on at least 100 acres of grass. Michael credits his mother, Susan, with the barn wedding idea. It seems silly, this miserable barn where I'd thrown hay all my life. Now the old barn hosts weddings and private events every spring and fall weekend. Meanwhile, whenever his kids get aggravating, Michael just sends them to their grandmother, Susan. Otherwise and cow-wise, just perfect. Known as Mookie. Old River Road in Burgaw. They are at Old River Farms, NC.com. Three pictures here. One of the couple, he in shorts, she in white long pants. Another, apparently they have a nursery there because you can see lots of gorgeous non-flowering plants on tables and a place to hang things from the top, and it's all open up above. And here's one of those cows just staring at the photographer after Dean and Susan Lanier inherited old River Farms from Dean's father. They reimagined what their land could be: an event venue, a plant nursery, and an outdoor classroom to teach children about farm life and livestock. And now, Lavender Oaks Farm in Chapel Hill. Karen McDonald never forgot the calming effect that lavender fields in France had on her. Later, she spent 2 years studying before she and her husband Robert sold their belongings and opened a 60-acre farm featuring 9 kinds of lavender. 2 heritage barns from Ohio and Pennsylvania, dated 1865 and 1900, with the original milk staining, as well as great-grandfather's carved initials, were reconstructed beam by beam to house indoor and outdoor events, wedding parties, guests, and often hundreds of daily visitors pluck or roam through silver-purple fields during the blooming season, and children can watch honeybees and butterflies at work. Now, the old McDonald husband-wife teams have added 90 prettily twining hop vines. Move over, salt and sachets. A lavender brew can't be far behind. Millard Whitney Road in Chapel Hill, lavenderoaksfarm.com. In the photo, Karen and Robert McDonald fulfilled a dream of owning their own farms when they planted their first field of lavender. Now, Lavender Oaks provides a backdrop for other couples' wedding dreams. Now, the lower third of this picture is all purple. Some of it in focus, some of it out of focus due to the way the camera lens was set. And it is just, it's all the tops of all the purple lavender. And in the in-focus part, Karen and Robert are standing and walking along. She's looking at him. He's looking at the lavender. They both have big smiles on their face. And she, in her arms, has all of these bouquets of lavender. It looks like, oh, I don't know, maybe 30 stalks or something, and they tied with a little string or whatever. So the whole thing's about inch and a half thick, and I suppose they sell them that way. And then in the background, there are trees, deciduous trees, all out of focus, according to the way the photographer took the picture. And now we have Carrigan Farms in Mooresville. A North Carolina century farm, Carrigan Farms is a four-season exemplar of both agritourism and commodity crops. Couples exchange wedding vows with a granite quarry as the backdrop, then dine on seasonal produce grown and catered right on the farm. In summer, visitors leap into the spring-fed quarry and eat Carrigan Farms fruit and veggies at a restaurant on the property. Strawberries, apples, and pumpkins are seasonally available, and at least 5 acres are planted in specialty pumpkins, the blue and white and warty ones, the flat Cinderella ones, Kelly Carrigan explains. Fun fact, in the 60s, the quarry provided crushed rock to the rapidly expanding interstate system. When you're traveling along I-77 between Statesville and Charlotte, you're driving on a little piece of Carrigan Farms. Oak Ridge Farm Highway in Mooresville, carriganfarms.com. 3 photos here. What was once a working granite quarry is now the site of many a wedding ceremony. After saying "I do" in front of the waterfall at Carrigan Falls, couples join the guests for a meal prepared with fruits and vegetables grown on the property. So here's a couple. They're standing on a little rock outcrop in over, I guess this must be probably in the quarry itself, because there's a deep stone wall there, and there's a waterfall coming down on the right-hand side of the picture, so it's a very beautiful location to be photographed. And then on the right-hand side, there is a picture, a close-up picture of the table. You can see the out-of-focus lights above from the beams in the back. We're looking at the tablecloth, a blue wine or water glass, and some piece of blue glass art, which looks like a flower, which is set on the table. And then the bulk of the page is a close-up of all those wonderful sunflowers that they have. These are in perfect bloom. Every yellow leaf is intact and spreading out perfectly from the center mass of seeds, which are, of course, what gets harvested from them later on. And now, the amazing Gray's Barn at First Fruits Farm in Lewisburg. When Jason Brown walked away from an NFL career in 2010, he graduated from the online University of YouTube to teach himself how to raise crops on his 1,000-acre farm. When too much nitrogen in the soil burned up 500 tomato seedlings, my babies grown from seeds, Brown was heartbroken until he realized there's no failure in God. Everything produced on First Fruits Farm is given in love to food banks, food kitchens, and church pantries. Amazing Gray's Barn, with its cross fashioned of clear window panes, gloriously streaming sunlight, pays for the farm's generosity. These days, Brown's weeks begin not with Monday morning practice, but with community volunteers who share a devotional before tackling cranky tractor innards and setting up fencing, doing not just good works, but also God's work. There at East River Road in Lewisburg, AmazingGraysEvents.com. Here's a picture of the happy couple. In 2012, former NFL center Jason Brown and his wife, Tay, bought 1,000 acres, once a dairy farm in Franklin County. Since their first harvest, the Browns have donated most of what they've grown. They're standing in front of a white fence, which has some metal grating on the back, I suppose, to keep the animals in. She's in a white dress with sort of a faint blue pattern on it, and he has a medium blue shirt over grayish pants, and he's wearing some kind of a hat, I'll call it a straw hat, if you will, to keep the sun off of his head. Here's a close-up of him holding some blue berries. I don't know exactly what they are. They look something like blueberries. It could be small cherries. Not really sure what's in his hand, but they're very attractive. And there's a close-up of a grapevine, so I'm going to guess that maybe they were blue grapes. And here is a animal with very long horns. And you know the expression, a longhorn? These come straight out about 3 feet on each side and curve upward. And the animal itself has brown skin mottled in white. The seed for Amazing Grays was planted when Tay and Jason celebrated their own 10th wedding anniversary with a vowel renewal at the former dairy barn. Eager to share the experience with others, they renovated the 7,500 square foot space to include a chapel upstairs and a reception area downstairs. And here is a couple in the barn. We see the barn is it's three stories high and then goes up from there. So it's really at the peak about 4 stories high. And down below there is a sliding panel, 2 sliding panels, which slide over the main doors. So they're made of wooden slats that are horizontal, and together it would just look like a whole mess of brown wooden slats over the white barn. But when you pull them open, underneath there are lighter wood doors that open outward, and they have glass panels in them. And just above these doors is an opening with 2 other doors. The doors, while they have glass panels in them, are wide open, and a couple is standing right at the edge kissing. So it's a very nice wedding photo for them. And here's another picture of the couple who owns the place under the sign that says Amazing Grays. They're just sitting on a bench there. And an inside picture which shows the cross made out of windows in the shape of a cross, and then a little pulpit in front of it with lots of flowers on either side of it. Let's move on to Summerfield Farms in Summerfield. David Couch has cared deeply about the quality of food since raising bottle-fed calves as a teenager. Ideally, he believes you should know your farmer and thereby know exactly what's in the food you eat. Couch has put this mission into practice in his 750-acre, 150-head cattle farm and market. We aspire to bring the best-in-class local products to our customers, he says, and inspire them to bring other products to our attention so we can source them too. The result is community participation and regenerative farming as well, replenishing the soil to leave a smaller carbon footprint. Next up for Summerfield Farms is what Couch calls an agrihood, a residential neighborhood incorporated within open pasture land so that young kids can grow up knowing where their ribeye comes from instead of the grocery store. They're at Pleasant Ridge Road in Summerfield, North Carolina, summerfieldfarms.com. Here we have an outdoor wedding under a huge tree with spreading branches. Branches cover the entire congregation that was in the shade here. And there's, let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven seats on each tie side by about 10 rows. So it holds like 150 people or so. The couple themselves are standing in front of the base of the tree, holding hands, getting prepared to set their vows. And the best man and the ushers are off to the right. It says Summerfield's cattle graze on land that has been cultivated since at least the 1930s when the Gamble family ran it as Many Oaks Farm. In 1946, the Gambles used lumber from the property to build the barn, which is shown here, which is one of several event venues on the farm today. And we see a three-story high white building with a silo at the end. And here's a couple of cows that are very interested in the photographer down here. And we're going to end with Morning Glory Farm in Monroe. Growing up, Van Nuncannon was embarrassed to live on a farm. At the time, living close to the land wasn't cool. But in 2006, she and her husband Scott bought an organic flower farm to supplement their vending business, traipsing to farmers' markets each weekend to sell the blooms. Then came a few row of asparagus requested by local chefs, then pick-your-own honor system blueberries, then cows to help with the bush hogging, then super cute goats, a small sheep herd, some donkeys, a few horses, and everything just fell organically into place for us, Nan says. And in 2011, when a neighbor asked to get married at the farm, with the pond and the flowers and moving art, as Nan calls the horses, in the background, transforming Morning Glory Farm into a wedding venue just felt right, too. They're on Kate Road in Monroe. It says on the Van Kuman family farm, mother-daughter duo Matty and Nan manage weddings and events while Scott stewards the land and animals, including a pasture full of Kiko goats, which are shown here, and Chica, who Nan calls our first guard donkey, always ready for a photo or treat. He's shown in close-up on the right, and the little white goat is shown eating out of Mr. Vukanen's hand on the left-hand picture. Well, that is all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments, questions, call the studios, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.